has great stories to tell, and we tell them on this station every night, because one thing I've learned is this: there's an American story in all of us. Join me for our American stories right here.
Every night from 10 to midnight on AM 670 KMZQ, talk radio done right.
I'm attorney Paul Powell. If you've been in an accident, hiring the right lawyer can make a huge difference. And unlike most lawyers, I won't take more money than you at the end of your case. That means more money in your pocket, right where it belongs. Call me right now, 728-5500. Paul Powell, more lawyer, less fee.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in two different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it, unless you're a chameleon.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Las Vegas Rock.
Hear about the must-sees, the wanna-eats, and go behind the scenes. Insider Ron Garrett keeps the Vegas vibe alive every Saturday afternoon at 5. Las Vegas Rock on AM 670 KMZQ.
It's all about Las Vegas. Live and local with Kevin Wall. Now, weekday afternoons, noon to 3 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Hard to believe it, we are inching ever closer to Super Bowl 57. And of course, the Super Bowls are always fun, and everybody has parties, and you go to sports bars, and you fill them up, and you watch the commercials as much as you watch the game, although in this particular case, I'll be watching my Kansas City Chiefs against a team that I think is capable of beating them, believe it or not. I'm not going to bet against the Chiefs, but I think Eagles, good. But then it comes down to the commercials. One of the commercials stood out. I did not know this was going to happen, but the gentleman Jim Dallas does know. He knows everything about sports. Relative to one of the commercials that we'll all see on Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun because the face of late night has gone from Carson to Leno, and now Greg Gutfeld is kind of the face of late night on Fox. So Fox, they went out and paid big bucks because we all know that it costs millions of dollars to air these spots on the Super Bowl. So during the coverage, Kevin, there's a 20-second commercial that is going to be promoting Greg Gutfeld's late-night talk show on the Fox News Channel. How do you like that one?
Are you so they're actually going to have a 20-second commercial that's going to air in the Super Bowl? That's incredible.
Well, it's going to be during the coverage. They didn't say exactly when it was going to air, but, you know, the coverage, it goes for like 8 hours. You know, the game itself with the halftime and everything, it goes over 4 hours. So it's going to be on the coverage, but it's a lot of fun. And they're also promoting CNN. They want to bring in a late night comedian as well. So,
That's right. Yeah. Kind of a stand-up comic. I don't know that CNN doing late night comedy is going to make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. But Fox is responding and saying that, hey, let's just bring in Roseanne Barr to do an hour-long special. So late night has sure changed from, the laugh tracks to political comedy.
Well, an entire entirely new generation is watching late night comedy.
Exactly. And it's political, believe it or not.
It ain't your mama's late night comedy. Stick around. More to do as we continue. Melissa Hardy will join us next on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
Once I rose above the noise and confusion, just to get a glimpse beyond this illusion.
Hello, this is my auto. And this is my key. And there is only one place I trust with Meineke Car Care. They even offer financing options so I can fix now and pay over time. Ooh, I love financing and options and Meineke. and American cheese. Remember, I only trust Meineke with Meineke, your one-stop shop for total car care.
See store for details.
Right now, get a basic oil change for only $29.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
Hey, how you doing? You know what I want to talk about? You need a place where you can get top dollar for your trade, great experience, and all the discounts and rebates you deserve. Stop what you're doing. Come see me, Mr. Pink, at 5050 West Sahara, and I'm going to hook you up, all right? Mr. Pink, baby!
Las Vegas Rock.
Hear about the must-sees, the wanna-eats, and go behind the scenes. Insider Ron Garrett keeps the Vegas vibe alive every Saturday afternoon at 5. Las Vegas Rock on AM 670 KMZQ. Live from the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa Studios. From the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
This hour from townhall.com, I'm Jason Walker. As search and rescue efforts continue following Monday's massive quake hitting Turkey and Syria, rescue teams from the United States have arrived. Here's correspondent Jennifer King.
Piles of equipment wrapped in webbing were unloaded from a C-130 cargo plane at Incirlik Air Base in Turkey as urban search and rescue teams from fire departments in Fairfax County, Virginia, and Los Angeles County, California, arrived to lend a hand. The teams are traveling with 159 people, 170,000 pounds of specialized equipment, and 12 rescue dogs trained in finding victims who are still alive beneath the rubble of collapsed buildings. The teams and the dogs wore special jackets marked with the U.S. Agency for International Development logo. I'm Jennifer King.
Death count there now more than 19,000. Meanwhile, Town Hall News joining forces with international nonprofit relief agency Food for the Poor to rush emergency relief, food, water, and medicine to victims in Turkey and Syria. More information available at srnnews.com. Also at townhall.com, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky speaking out through a translator. He says Ukraine's fight against Russia is for the freedom of Europe as a whole.
Europe will always be and remain Europe as long as we're together, as long as we take care of our Europe, as we take care of the European way of life.
Well, the Biden administration admitting today China's balloon that crossed the United States indeed was equipped to collect intelligence signals and part of a huge military-linked aerial spy program that targeted more than 40 nations. A fleet of balloons operated under the People's Liberation Army was used for spying and outfitted with high-tech equipment. More on these stories, townhall.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Tired of the same old partisan politics? The type that gives Nevada lax voting regulations, reduced educational choice, and bloated, inefficient state government? Feel like you're swimming upstream against a tsunami of special interests and legislators intent on serving the needs of government rather than those of ordinary Nevada residents and businesses? There is hope. I'm John Sarpalis, president of the Nevada Policy Research Institute, and we are working to hold our elected leaders responsible. This isn't a partisan issue. Republicans and Democrats have let down the very people they claim to represent in Carson City. For the good of our children, our parents, and ourselves, let's come together and work to put policy ahead of politics. Go to NevadaPolicy.org and learn what we're doing to stand up for your freedoms. This Nevada Policy Update has been brought to you in partnership with the Nevada Trucking Association.
It's 2:04. This is your KMCQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. A North Dakota tribal nation is buying a long-shuttered motel on the South Strip, adding to its portfolio on Las Vegas Boulevard. The three affiliated tribes is buying the closed White Sands Motel for $10.25 million. The narrow one-acre parcel across from the Luxor is surrounded on three sides by the former Route 91 Harvest Festival site, which the tribal nation recently bought from MGM Resorts for nearly $93 million. The North Dakota tribe now owns 20-plus acres along the South Las Vegas Strip. The trade involving All-Star forward Derica Hamby has the Las Vegas Aces under investigation. The probe by the WNBA also involves allegations the defending champs tried to circumvent the league's salary cap by offering their current players and possible free agents under-the-table payments. The claims being made say that the team used an outside company to offer players to pay for little work, which would allow the Aces to sign players to smaller contracts and stay under that salary cap. Team owner Mark Davis tells the Las Vegas Review-Journal that he cannot comment on ongoing investigations. Breezy and a high of 60 today, a low of 37. It's 56 degrees right now.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Right now, get a basic oil change for only $29.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
Well, the road work on Interstate 515 northbound at Charleston is causing some delays with those lane restrictions through there. Also, do expect some reduced speeds on Interstate 15 both directions through the resort area, southbound at Flamingo and northbound 15 at Sunset.
I want you to know that the movement we started is only just beginning. There's never been anything like it. The belief that a nation must serve its citizens will not dwindle, but instead only grow stronger by the day. As long as the American people hold in their hearts deep and devoted love of country, then there is nothing that this nation cannot achieve.
Check it out.
I go from this majestic place with a loyal and joyful heart, an optimistic spirit, and a supreme confidence that for our country and for our children, the best is yet to come.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Boy, what a lineup for a Thursday show. We had Scott Hammond on, State Senator, District 18, was on earlier in the show. So was Governor Joe Lombardo. He's the governor of the great state of Nevada. He was on. If you missed the interview, we're going to re-air a portion of the interview coming up at the bottom of the hour. So, but I'm so excited because somebody who's in the arena, who is fighting the good fight for folks in District 22, Melissa Hardy joins us. Melissa, first of all, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. We're into day four of the 82nd Nevada legislature. What do you make of what you've seen through the first three plus days?
Well, hi, Kevin. It's great to be back on your show again.
I love it. I love having you on. Tell me what it's been like in these early days. And again, this is not your first legislative rodeo, so to speak. Was it any different this time around with a Republican governor?
Yeah, I think, you know, as you said, we're into day four. It was really nice. Monday we had, you know, all the opening day ceremonies, which weren't able to have in 2021 because of the pandemic. So it was really nice to be in the chamber and have our families and friends there, just kind of celebrate everyone being here at session and being elected. And so that was really nice. I enjoyed that. And I think everyone that was there and didn't have that experience in 2021 also really enjoyed getting to do that. So that Monday was a great day. Since then, it's kind of just been committees are doing a lot of presentations and things like that, and trying to get our BDRs and our bills situated, and just, you know, kind of trying to settle in and get everything organized. And I think for me, like you said, this will be my third regular session, and I also served three special sessions, and all of those previous sessions were under complete Democrat control, you know, the governor, the Senate, and the assembly. So I'm really looking forward to being in a session and an atmosphere where we do have a Republican governor. I think it is going to make a difference, and I'm just really excited to be able to serve in this legislature and see some good policy come, because now there's some balance, which we were severely lacking in all the previous sessions that I've served.
But in order to do that, Republicans are going to have to stay together. You've had a chance to visit with some of your Republican colleagues. Are you convinced that folks will stay together and that you will sustain vetoes when they come?
Yes. I mean, you know, we've had those discussions in the weeks and months after the election leading up to session of, you know, what our strategy is and what the game plan is. And, you know, you're absolutely right. We need to be aligned with our priorities and aligned with the governor's priorities. And yeah, we have to be a unit and a team. You know, unfortunately in the assembly, we're back in the super minority status, which we obviously did not want to be in, like we were in 2019. But again, we have Governor Lombardo and we've got the Senate. So we still have some, you know, bargaining power there. Like you said, the veto. And so we want to be team players and we want to stick together and do what we can to get the governor's priorities through and hold the line where we need to. And, you know, we're prepared to do that. So
You told us about the governor's priorities. What about your priorities? First of all, did you get the committee assignments you wanted? And what are going to be the legislative priorities for you in this term?
Yeah, I was fortunate again to serve. I'll be serving on the same committees that I served on in 2021 and then two of the same ones in 19. So I'm on education, commerce and labor, and judiciary. So I really enjoy serving on those committees and the different policies that come through there. So I was excited to be back on those again. And as far as my own priorities, you know, I always, when I was first elected and served my first session, I always try to look at, you know, what do I want to do? Is it a lot of the ideas come from campaigning and door knocking and the experiences that I hear from my constituents? Or think, you know, other ideas that people bring to me. And then I always try to advance policies that are bipartisan, that whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, that will help all Nevadans and that I feel have a good chance of getting through and actually becoming law. So when I look and start researching for bills and ideas, that's always the lens that I try to look through. And so I also like to build on bills that I've passed in previous sessions. And so this time, again, 2021, I had a sex trafficking-related bill, and so I have another one this time. I have that will help victims of sex trafficking. I have a couple of – I'm a very big animal advocate, protector of animals. And so I have
remember.
A couple of – yeah, I have a couple of those this time again. I don't know. I just come from a place of – I'm just a very caring individual. And so I always try to look at how can we help those that are the most vulnerable or that, you know, have been hurt. And so I look at that, you know, animals obviously are helpless and so dependent on us. So are children and victims of crime. And so those are, when I start looking, that's where my mind goes first. What can I do to really help people that have been harmed and that need our help? So I'm proud of, I have a good variety of bills this time that I'm working on. So I'm hoping to get a good amount of them passed.
Which brings me to do you, as you're preparing these BDR, these bill draft requests, is passability, I don't even know if that's a word, but passability a factor in the 6 or 8 BDRs that you end up getting?
Yeah, I think so. You know, like I said, and people have their own kind of ways that they approach BDRs, their own philosophies. And some, you know, take the more, I guess, extreme approach of, you know, kind of the red meat bills, and which that's great. You know, sometimes we all have those, and those are good too. Or we sign on to our colleagues' bills for those types of things. And then, like I said, I try to look at things that I feel would have the best chance of getting passed. And so, and of course, that's not always the case, you know, because in the assembly, we don't control the agenda, and we're not the committee chair, so we don't get to decide what bills are actually going to be heard and get through the whole process of passing the committee and passing floor and all of that. You know, those are kind of out of our hands. But I've learned, and I think over the past, 5 years now that I've been in the building and in this position, I've built some good relationships with the people, the legislators on the other side. And, you know, I think that has served me well, that they're open and receptive to what I bring, and my bills get hearings. And a lot of times the Democrats have signed on to the policies that I'm working on. So I think that speaks to the type of legislator that I've been and the relationships that I've built, you know, because at the end it does kind of depend on that. As I said, because they control what goes on and what doesn't move forward. So I have a good feeling, you know. I'm not naive to think that, oh, I'm going to get all 10 of mine through. That's not going to happen. But, you know, every session I've gotten 2 or 3 bills passed, and I think that's successful, and I count those as wins. So
again, Assemblywoman Melissa Hardy joining us, District 22. We talked to Danielle Gallant yesterday from 23, and one of the things she said is that the governor was scheduling 30-minute meetings with every member of the Assembly and the State Senate. Have you got your conversation booked with the governor?
Yeah, I do, actually. That's one thing I'm really looking forward to is, you know, I was out on the campaign trail with him and saw him a lot, and so I'm really excited to get to see him now all up here in Carson City. And I, have my appointment booked. I think it's next week, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Well, and Steve Sisolak, God bless him. I heard this from a lot of different members, State Senate, Assembly, that he just walled himself off, no pun intended, mm-hmm. and that he really didn't communicate. I spoke with the governor earlier today, and one of the things he said is communication is going to be critical for him in his new job. Do you think we're going to see a kind of a different way of doing business?
Oh, absolutely. And I totally agree with you. In the 2021 session, Governor Sisolak was just what you said, absent. I don't think I saw him once during the whole session. And, you know, I just don't understand how you govern that way. It's all about the conversation. It's about communicating, you know. How can you effectively do anything if you're not meeting together and discussing things? So, and I absolutely do think that Governor Lombardo is going to be involved, be having the conversations, meeting with people, you know, doing what he can, learning what he can, just being a part of the process. I'm so excited. It's so refreshing to see that and to be able to work with him and his office and his staff. I think he has surrounded himself with really good people that are knowledgeable, that have, you know, worked in government and the state government and, you know, budgeting expertise, all these different areas, you know, recognizing the fact that he doesn't know everything about everything that's going to be brought to him. And so he's got himself some good people and listening to them. And he seems like a person that he wants to come here, and he's got his priorities, and he's going to work with who he needs to work with to get those done. And so I think it's going to be a good session. I'm hopeful and just really honored and excited to be a part of it.
Again, Melissa Hardy joining us, Assemblywoman from District 22. For those that don't know, where is 22?
So my district, all of our districts changed after redistricting. So I still have some of the same areas before. So it's basically eastern, east of eastern, and then it goes out to, I now have Cadence. That's part of my district, and some of East Henderson. And then I still have Sun City, McDonald Ranch. And then it kind of takes out different chunks in between that area. Parts of Green Valley Ranch I have and some I don't. But that's the basic boundary, east of Eastern, out to Cadence, and then up to, like, Mission Drive on the south side.
Wow. Wow. Well, I want to spend the final couple of minutes talking about something that's near and dear to our heart. We spend a lot of time on it on this show, and I know you're very concerned about it as well, and that is education and our children. I know the governor has made it a priority of his with $2 billion in new spending on education. How much of it, I mean, realistically, looking at the numbers and how many members they've got and how many members we've got in the state Senate and the Assembly, what is reasonable to assume that we can get done?
You know, I think, as the governor has said many times, that's one of his top three priorities is education. And myself being on the education committee and interim education committee my entire time, you know, there are just so many areas of education that need to be addressed and fixed. And, you know, and I've said this for the last 5 years that money doesn't solve every problem. But the one thing that I do like and appreciate and have said this myself is, just throwing money at a problem doesn't fix it. We need accountability for the money. And that's one thing that I'm so glad that the governor said is there's going to be some accountability. I want to see this money. I want to see the improvements. You know, holding to the fire. You say you need more money, and you get it, but nothing improves. So there's got to be some accountability and transparency of where this money is going. Is it going to programs that are helping or not, and why not? And so, you know, I'm hopeful that that'll make a difference, that if we can actually get some accountability, you know, then we can hold the districts accountable for what they're doing with the money, and we can actually really see what's been going on. So I was really glad to hear, you know, that it wasn't just, yeah, here's some money, but no, I'm going to hold you to, you know, the spending of this money. So, and some of the other things like, you know, school choice and all of ESA, all that stuff that Republicans support, you know, I don't know. That's, again, that goes to your point of, you know, we're still in the minority, and when what are the Democrats going to agree to move? And so we'll see. But I think we're at a good starting place right now, and we've got a great leader in our governor, and we're there to support him and, you know, follow his lead and do what we can from our side and hopefully get some gains.
Were you a part of that session with Jesus Jara either yesterday or today? Scott Hammond was talking about it. Of course, he's state Senate. Have you had much communication with the superintendent?
No, I haven't. Not yet. During interim education, we had presentations, you know, from the district, different school districts in the state, and that's pretty much the interaction that I've had with him so far was during the interim education. So not yet this session. You know, I assume that he'll be up here, and as we go through these different policies on education committee, so, you know, it'll be interesting and see what he says, and you know, I look forward to those conversations with him and the rest of the district. So
I've had a chance to cover you for a number of these sessions, and the one thing I know about Melissa Hardy is that you are really big on constituent service. If folks want to reach out to you, if they have a question, even if they don't live in your district,